Today on The Journey.
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way.
God's Word is a mirror to your soul and a light to your life. Today, Ron Moore invites you to join King David as he turns on that light and encourages you to take a closer look at your own reflection. First, I want you to know about Ron's life-changing publication on prayer. It's titled Engage, 30 Days to a More Powerful Prayer Life. This 63-page booklet explores the often mystifying practice of prayer with thoughts gleaned from key scripture passages. It's available for a gift of any amount, and you'll find it at ronmoore.org. Listen for more details after today's sermon. Now here's Ron with the message, A Time to Reflect on the Journey.
What I'd like to do is just simply to lead us in a time of reflection. We want to take some time at the end of the year to stop and reflect. And we're going to consider a short prayer found in Psalm 139. It's a prayer of David. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to that psalm and to pray this prayer as if it was your own and to take inventory of your life at the end of this year. Today, let this simple prayer be your prayer. May we ask God to evaluate our lives by these words. Psalm 139, the last two verses. David prays this prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there is any offensive way in me. And lead me in the everlasting way. This psalm is written by David, and it is for the director of music. David wanted these words to be sung. He wanted them to be understood, and he wanted them to be applied. Prior to his prayer, David has just written an awesome description of the powerful and personal Heavenly Father. He begins by saying that God is all-knowing, that God is omniscient, that he never discovers anything new, that nothing ever surprises him, that he is never caught off guard. And the amazing thing that David points out is that this omniscient one is intimate and personal. Look at verses 2 and 3. You know when I sit, and you know when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You not only know my thoughts today, but you know what thoughts I will be thinking tomorrow and the next day and the next month and the next year and the next decade. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. If you have the New American Standard Bible, you are intimately acquainted with all my ways. And here David is awed by the fact that God knows everything about him, that God is intimately acquainted with all my ways. God knows where we have been, and God knows where we're going. And he knows our most private possessions, our thoughts. Those things that no one else will ever know about. But even those cannot be hidden from God. Before a word is mentally constructed and formed on our lips and verbally spoken, David says, God, you know it all. And he can only conclude in verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. It is too lofty for me to attain. Now, from God's omniscience, his all-knowing, David goes to God's omnipresence. The fact that God is present everywhere at the same time in his full being. And what is significant about that to the believer? Well, David says, one, I can't run from him. Wherever I go, he's already there. Look at verses 8 through 10. If I go to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me, and your right hand will hold me fast. There's no place I can go to run from God. And there's no place I can go to hide from Him. Look at verses 11 and 12. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light will become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you, and the night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Many people live their lives believing if no one else sees them, then it really doesn't matter what they do. If they don't get caught, if what they do is hidden from others, if they personally appear okay before others, then that's all that matters. It's the appearance of the thing, they would say. And so they spend their life working hard not to clean out the skeletons in their closets, but to keep the closet doors closed from the eyes of everyone else so no one can see in. And those who live their life in such a way miss the point entirely. You see, you can keep the closet doors closed before people, even people closest to you. But there is one before whom you will one day appear, the one who you will give an account to. And He sees all, everything, even your most private thought. You can't run or hide from the judge before whom you will ultimately stand. He is all-knowing, omniscient. He is all-present, omnipresent. And He is also all-powerful, omnipotent. Look at verses 13 through 16. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. And then the end of verse 16, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. He's all powerful. He's a creator. He knitted us together in our mother's womb. Creation belongs to God. He is the one who creates everything. This is awesome, David says. This is fearful even to think about. We are wonderfully made. But God doesn't stop just by making us. Again, look at the end of verse 16. He is intimately acquainted with all our ways. All our days ordained for me are written in your book before one of them came to be. Again, there are many who believe that God created everything, and then He kind of plugged it in and flipped the switch, and now He sits back and watch it all happen. He's powerful, yes. He's a creator, certainly, but He's impersonal. He is a hands-off God. But David doesn't know such a God. He knows a God who is a personal heavenly Father. He knows of a heavenly Father who cares enough about us, not only to create us, but to personally ordain all our days. He knows about a heavenly Father who cares even about the details of the planning of your life. Personally omniscient, personally omnipresent, personally omnipotent. Lord, you know who I am, David says. You perceive my thoughts. Lord, you know where I am. I can't flee from your presence. And Lord, you know what I am. You created me and you have ordained my days. So with that understanding, that basis, David prays this prayer. The prayer can be easily divided into three parts. Let's call the first part reflection. Look at verse 23 again. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. David here is praying very openly, very honestly. You're being very vulnerable before God. And asking that God would search him. The word search means to explore. It means to probe. It means to investigate. It means to examine thoroughly so as to expose areas of weakness. You go to the doctor. Maybe you haven't been feeling well. And the doctor, he or she, is going to poke and probe and push and explore, going to run some tests, going to carefully examine you, thoroughly search and find what the potential problems may be. You want that doctor to find out if there's anything wrong. You don't want to let it go. Because you know when there is a physical problem and you let it go, then it's only going to get worse. And David's prayer here is that God would do that spiritually. That God would thoroughly examine us and that he would make known to us our heart. Now, God already knows our heart, but we don't. Our heart here is not that physical organ that pumps our blood, but David is using a figure of speech. And throughout Scripture, the heart represents the very center of our thinking and our feelings and our desires. The very center of our mind, emotion, and will. David says, God, expose my heart, lay it open, and let me see myself for who I really am. Let me see myself as you see me. The outer man is easy to examine. We can go to the doctor, and even internal problems, the doctor can run a scope or take an x-ray, and more often than not, can locate the problem. But the heart, the spiritual issues, that's different. We can't see inside. And to be honest, those things we can see in our heart that we don't like, we often rationalize. Listen to Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can understand it? We are incapable of self-evaluation. Left to ourselves, we will cover up and smooth over and explain away all our sin. So here's what I'm asking you to do, as I ask myself. Schedule an appointment with the Heavenly Father for the purpose of examination. And in the quietness of that time, with Psalm 139 open before you, ask God to expose the arteries of your spiritual person that are either blocking or slowing the flow of your spiritual life. Let's be open and honest and vulnerable. And let our reflection be God directed. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Make known my anxious thoughts. So the first part of David's prayer is reflection, but the second part is critical, response. Look at verse 24, just the first line. See if there is any offensive way in me. So that if there is an offensive way in me, I can do something about it. So the challenge is, after serious reflection, how will you respond? God has exposed some areas of your life. What are you going to do about it? Certainly there are going to be areas of your life brought to light, and you're going to need to respond. Perhaps you need to ask forgiveness from God. Again, all sin is ultimately against Him. Turn with me to Psalm 51. David says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgression, and my sin is always before me. Look at verse 4. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be proved right when you speak and are justified when you judge. Verse 7. Here's our response. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. In David's day, the Holy Spirit could be taken from those upon whom he sometimes dwelt. In our day, that's not the case for believers, but we can certainly lose fellowship with the Lord. So here we would pray, let me renew the fellowship that the Holy Spirit brings in my life. Restore to me, verse 12, the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. A prayer of forgiveness, asking for God to help us respond. Help me sustain what you've called me to do. In your reflection, it may be that God will bring to light something that is between you and another person. Again, let's look at some passages here. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. Listen to the words of Jesus. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to your brother, and then come back and offer your gift. Seeking reconciliation among people is the first step of true worship. And maybe there's someone that you are at odds with in your life, and Christ is telling you, you go seek reconciliation and then come back and we can finish our time of worship. Turn over to chapter 6, verse 14. Forgiveness. If you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father also will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. Part of forgiveness is responding. And God may ask you to forgive someone else. That's the first part of the response. One more passage, we won't turn there, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Paul says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God has forgiven you. And so our basis of this response of forgiveness is first of all what Christ has done for us. Since He has forgiven us of our sins, then we are responsible to forgive each other. Reflection, response, and finally, renewal. Look at the end of verse 24, back in Psalm 139. See if there's any offensive way in me, response, and lead me in the way everlasting. The first part of renewal starts with submission. David is asking the Lord to lead him. Lord, you are all-knowing. You are all present. You are all powerful. You take charge of my life. You take the reins. You drive. Let's get on the path, the highway that leads to the destination for my life. The right way of living that endures forever, that is everlasting. The life of rightly ordered priorities where relationship with God comes first. Psalm 1 speaks of a person who walks in the path that endures. And among other things, the psalmist says this will characterize his life. Listen to Psalm 1, verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law does he meditate day and night. If you want to lead a life on the path that endures, then you must be reading the Word of God. There are no shortcuts. There are no other books. And really, there are no excuses. You have to be daily reading the Word of God. You have to be reading it in a meaningful way where you're not just checking it off some list that, yes, you did it that day, but you're asking God to renew you and speak to you each time you open His Word. We believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God. We believe that it is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. We believe that God, through His Spirit, speaks to our heart as we read these words. And we believe they are just as applicable and just as relevant today as they were the day they were written. We need to be reading the Word of God. And if we don't, we are missing spiritual renewal. I challenge you this week to pray David's prayer, not to simply say the words, but to take the time to make an appointment with God. With Psalm 139 open before you, open your heart before God, honest, vulnerable, and pray this prayer of reflection, of response and renewal. Search me, O God, and make known my heart. It's too deceitful. I can't know it on my own. Test me and know my anxious thoughts and see if there is any offensive way in me. Show it to me. Help me respond and lead me in the way everlasting.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a special announcement. Prayer. That word and the practice of it fills you with great hope and struggling doubt. You wonder, what precisely is prayer? And how can I pray in a way that God hears and responds to me? Those are the questions answered in Ron Moore's insightful devotional titled Engage, 30 Days to a More Powerful Prayer Life. During this month-long journey, you'll learn how living in awe of God, submitting to His will, and resting in daily dependence on Him can make prayer engaging and effective. Engage, 30 Days to a More Powerful Prayer Life is yours for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call toll-free 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a special announcement.
Christmas time is such a special season to all who belong to Jesus Christ because we know the depth of its meaning, the incarnation, that God came in human form, a little baby destined to take on the sin of the world and rescue every one of us. The mission of the Journey Ministry may not be the first thing you think about when the subject of Christmas comes up, but you see, God's message of hope and love and transformation was foretold for thousands of years, and it's being proclaimed every day right here on the Journey. We desire to share the good news of Jesus Christ as revealed through the Word of God. Life today is hurried and it's complex, but we believe the Bible provides the truth for the most important issues of our day and the most important issues of our life. The very fact that the Journey exists in spite of so much opposition around the world is an answer to prayer. And when you choose to support the work that God is doing here, you become a very real, important part of that answer. So, will you please prayerfully consider responding with a generous year-end gift to the Journey? Maybe it's a gift of $25 or $50 or even $100. We ask you to help us keep the Journey going. Your gift by midnight, December 31st, will help meet very real needs here at the end of the calendar year. And our goal is to start 2019 on a sound financial footing, ready to broadcast the good news across the radio to whomever God will allow it to reach. Your timely response will help us do that. So please visit us at ronmoore.org. That's ronmoore.org. Just hit the orange donate button on the front page. We would love to partner with you as we make this journey together. Again, that's ronmoore.org. Orange donate button on the front page. Thank you for joining us on the journey.
Again, that address is ronmoore.org. And please drop by our website to order your copy of Engage, 30 Days to a More Powerful Prayer Life. This daily devotional will give your prayer time purpose and joy. Engage, 30 Days to a More Powerful Prayer Life is available for a gift of any amount when you visit us at ronmoore.org. Or you may call toll-free 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. By the way, if you miss any of the messages in this series, you'll find them on the front page of our website at ronmoore.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, please tell your friends and family about our program. Also, keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on The Journey.